السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. فبظلم من الذين هادوا حرمنا عليهم طيبات أحلت لهم وبصدهم عن سبيل الله كثيرا، وأخذهم الربا وقد نهوا عنه، وأكلهم أموال الناس بالباطل، وأعتدنا للكافرين منهم عذابا أليما. صدق الله العظيم. All praise, all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who yet again has given us this beautiful Mubarak opportunity of gathering in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this Mubarak occasion of Jumu'ah. We make dua to Allah ta'ala that He allows us to see many, many more days of Jumu'ah. Wud afiyat. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows us to appreciate this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. And we also make dua to Allah ta'ala that He allows our last day of this earthly life to be the Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. The topic that I wish to discuss today is a topic with regards to riba and the conventional banks that we find today. Many, many people are getting confused with the marketing structure, the aggressive marketing that is taking place by banks, conventional banks, that historically our ulama warned us, historically our ulama told us that beware, that this is not an investment, this is not a place for investment, this is not an avenue of investment. And now suddenly we're seeing such aggressive marketing as though there has been a complete somersault, an inqilab, a complete somersault, that something that our ulama unanimously, there was no shak in it, it was ittifaq, that this is not some avenue that a Muslim should be investing in. And suddenly we're seeing the tables have turned around and there's aggressive marketing. Not too long ago, I was in the O.R. Tambo airport, and I was surprised to see that even in the airport, that they've got advertisements, they got billboards marketing Islamic banking, billboards, Islamic banking. Suddenly what happened? The question arises, the question begs, that when ulama so strongly warned us about something that Allah had so strongly warned upon, and what was that that Allah Ta'ala has warned us about? That فَإِلَّمْ تَفَعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. That if you're not going to desist from riba, then take a announcement of war, not with Israel, not with America, not with Russia. Take an announcement of war with Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is not a small thing that a person engaging in riba, it's not a small thing. We'll do some of the hadith as we go along, showing us how serious it is. In Musnad Ahmad, there's a riwayat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that dirhamu riban ya'kuluhu rajul wa huwa ya'lamu ashaddu min stithi wa thalathina zanyatan. That one silver coin, you see, one lousy silver coin of riba, a person takes it, he consumes it, he earns this coin of riba, the silver coin, not worth much, whilst knowing that this is riba, whilst he has been told that stay away from it, and he's still taking it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying that this is worse than committing zina 36 times. Not one time, 36 times. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, Ar-riba sab'una hawba. That riba has 70 levels, 70 layers, 70 different levels. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam goes on to say, Aysaruha ayyankiha ar-rajulu ummahu. That the lowest level of riba, the lowest level of unjust enrichment, is a man committing zina with his own mother. A man committing zina with his own mother, riba is worse than that also, than committing zina with your mother. So therefore, naturally, when the ulama warned us and told us that beware, that don't invest your money in the banks. Allah has given you this halal money. Look after it, take care of it. This is not the avenue of investments. Banks are something that you stay away. Yes, we use a bank out of need. So we put, for example, 1,000 rand in the bank. All we take out from the bank is 1,000 rand. It's not there to make money. It's not there to earn profits. So this was something that we always knew. But how come suddenly, just to give you an indication, an idea, around May 2004, FNB launched Islamic banking. Around the beginning of 2006, Absa Bank launched Islamic banking. Around 2016, Standard Bank launched Islamic banking. Now something that our ulama warned us, something that we understood, because we understood the psychology, we understood the design, the architecture, the very anatomy and the very fabric of how a bank works. Just to get the understanding, how a bank works generally, just simplistically understanding, is the bank takes money from depositors. In other words, taking money from the rich. And then it lends it to those people that are in need, the poor. And then what it does, it takes returns from the poor and it now gives it to the rich. This is something completely against the psychology of Islam. The psychology of Islam is that when a man is poor, a man is in need, we help the man. We don't take more from that man. This is the psychology of Islam. So this psychology, this understanding of making people poorer and making the rich richer, making the poor poorer and making the rich richer, was completely against the psychology of Islam. So banks are the marakis, are the headquarters of riba. So ulama have always told us and warned us. So the question now that begs, that how come this introduction suddenly came and with such a strong, aggressive marketing policy that Muslim organizations now are also accepting banks as sponsors? There was a time when a person was a sportsman and he wouldn't even allow a Castle Lager logo to be displayed on his t-shirt. Why? Because this industry is an industry that is taboo for Islam. But you're getting riba industries, FNB, EBSA, Standard Bank, for example. Now they suddenly becoming corporate sponsors for Muslim functions, for Muslim organizations, and they're proud of it. Recently there was a poster that was out of a Hajj program, and the Hajj program was sponsored by FNB and EBSA. Can you imagine a person going for Hajj? What a Mubarak journey, and accepting sponsorship from riba industries. And riba is such a thing that is much, much worse than pork, much, much worse than wine also. It is some, but we won't accept a sponsorship from any piggery. We won't accept a sponsorship from a winery. But how come Muslims are now suddenly accepting sponsorships now from riba organizations? That ayat of the Quran which I have read in the beginning, Allah Ta'ala is explaining as far as the Yahud is concerned that there is zulam. There is a very close relationship between the riba system of the banks and oppression. فَبِظُلْمٍ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ هَادُوا حَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ طَيِّبَاتٍ أُحِلَّتْ لَهُمْ. That Allah Ta'ala is saying that because of the zulam of this Yahud, that this oppression that they would, one is we're seeing now that they, military oppression, that we can see clearly, but they've also got a financial oppression, a financial system that's in place, that we are suddenly jumping onto the bandwagon and claiming now to be Islam. We will go on as we'll explain, inshallah. So Allah is saying that for bidhulmim, from the oppressive nature, what, because of this zulam that they have done, Allah is saying, حَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ طَيِّبَاتٍ, those things that were permissible, those things that were good, those things that we had blessed them with, we had now deprived them of that. So this ummah also, the people of South Africa and throughout the world, if we now is going to start going the same route, joining the zulam oppressive regimes, we also going to be prevented. أَعَظَمُ سَبَبِ الْحِرْمَانِ الْمَعْصِيَةِ, the most greatest cause of a person being deprived of the ni'mats and the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when you start going into sin. And then Allah ta'ala goes on to say the next ayat, وَأَخْذِهِمُ الرِّبَا وَقَدْ نُهُوا عَنْهُ وَأَكْلِهِمْ أَمْوَالَ النَّاسِ بِالْبَاطِلِ. That the Yahud also, every divine religion had forbidden riba. The Yahud also, they were forbidden from riba, but they continued. And they did their schemes and they made this riba permissible. So Allah says, وَأَخْذِهِمُ الرِّبَا, they took riba. وَقَدْ نُهُوا عَنْهُ, despite them being forbidden from it. Today we're seeing it openly. Muslims are investing in banks and they're taking it so happily. So happily as though suddenly it has become permissible. Something that our ulama had warned us all along that be careful about. And then Allah Ta'ala says, وَقَدْ نُهُوا عَنْهُ وَأَكْلِهِمْ أَمْوَالَ النَّاسِ بِالْبَاطِلِ, and they ate people's wealth unjustly. Mufassirin say that already riba is eating people's wealth unjustly. Why did Allah Ta'ala have to separately mention وَأَخْلِهِمُ الرِّبَا? To highlight the veracity, to highlight the problem area as far as riba is concerned. Allah Ta'ala had mentioned it separately in the ayat, that be careful of this riba. Anyway, moving on, that let us understand that what is the problem with the banking industry, the conventional banks. What is the problem? Why is it so strongly forbidden? Why have ulama warned us all along? So, just a few things, that this system, as I mentioned, it makes the rich get richer and it makes the poor get poorer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such in our deen, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَاءُ وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتُ, the exact opposite. that if you're going to engage in riba, Allah says, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى. Allah will cause your wealth to vanish. Allah will cause your wealth to disappear. وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ. And the more you give, the more you help the poor, the more you assist people, the more Allah will increase your wealth. Complete opposite to what the Western secular style of financing is. The next thing is that it leads to many disputes. It leads to many, many problems. What happens when a bank, the rich get richer, it gives them the monopoly over money, and the poor get left out. Islam teaches us sharing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِي. That Allah will continue helping a man so long as this man continues to help his brother. Now look at a banking system. If a person borrows money, I'll give an example just now to understand. Person borrows money and he can't repay, what happens? Is there anybody there to help him? Firstly, he has to repay more. He was in need, so therefore he borrowed. Then he has to pay much, much more than he borrowed. And then after that, if for some reason he can't meet his repayments, there's a repossession. Where is Wallahu fi auni al-abd? Ma kana al-abdu fi auni akhi. There's no assisting, there's no helping. He's just making money out of the poor, completely against the spirit of Islam. Islam is there to empower the poor, to help the poor, to empathize and to sympathize with the poor. This is completely something that is foreign, alien to the banking system that we have. The next thing, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali say, that banks actually act as parasites. They're sucking and they're leeching the blood out of the poor and giving it to the rich. And this is such a detrimental, such a dangerous thing. Ma'amar Rahmatullah Ali has mentioned, it's just looking at the financial aspect of things, that so detrimental, so dangerous it is when a man is engaged in riba, is involved in riba, man is investing his money in the banks, and in the name of profits, although he knows that what I'm getting now, this is not profits, this is riba. The longer I'm keeping it, the more I'm getting. What is that? That is riba. It doesn't matter. I'll give you examples to show that how this has now been window dressed. How this now has, there is such schemes put in place that to create a disguise and a cover. But in essence, it's the same thing. The longer you put your money, the more you get. The shorter you put the money, the less you get. That is what riba is. So anyway, Ma'amar Rahmatullah Ali says that this is so detrimental, that this is so dangerous, that not even 40 years will pass upon a person engaged in riba, except that Allah will cause a major calamity to strike him. That calamity may take different forms. It may take sometimes a problem with his wife, with his children, with his business. Sometimes it may cause some major health catastrophe upon a person. Sometimes he'll be engaged in legal battles on and on and on. There's so much of bitterness in the family. It can separate him from his children. Take different forms. He doesn't need an F-16 fighter jet to come and bomb him. Allah Ta'ala's military, Allah walillahi junudu samawati wal ard. Anything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can use to cause any type of harm to a person. So this is something that is very, very dangerous. Another thing is that banks encourage credit. That you dream it, we will finance it. If you want to upgrade your C-class to the S-class, come see us, we will make a plan for you. And Islam is complete opposite. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us to be content with what we have. What Allah has given us, make shukr. We're not continuously looking to upgrade our house, upgrade our car, upgrade our kitchen. We are happy with what we got. What we are looking to do is upgrade our deen. So therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, لَيْسَ الْغِنَىٰ عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْعَرَضِ وَلَكِنَّ الْغِنَىٰ غِنَىٰ النَّفْسِ. That person that is rich is not that person that got investments, that got assets, that got offshore assets. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that person that is wealthy and rich is who? That person that is contented. That person who's got contentment in his heart, he is the person that now is rich, he is the person that is wealthy, not a person who's continuously chasing. So this is another thing that is completely against the spirit of Islam. In the early days of Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would refuse to even perform the janazah and salah of a person who passed away and he had debts. So serious it was. So therefore, it is not something that we should take lightly, that continuously we want to go to the banks and upgrade. So, coming back, here we understand that there are two incompatible structures, completely incompatible structures. One is the structure of this secular Western banking system, and one is the structure of Islam. The structure of Islam is riba is completely forbidden. If we lend somebody something, we only take back what we lend. We don't take back 1 cent more. In the time of the Bani Israel, there was one person. This hadith is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, that he had one policy. He had, as we may see, a debtor's clerk, somebody working for him. He told him that what you do is look at all the people that are owing us money. And if you see somebody is really battling, he can't pay,
write off that debt. Write it off. Don't take that money from him. And if you see somebody that can pay, but he just needs some respite, give him time. So in other words, go through this debtor's age analysis, look to see who's owing us money, and apply this policy. It comes in a hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioning about this person, that on account of this one action that he had, Allah made his complete maghfirat. He was forgiven because of that. Now this is completely opposite to what the banks do. It actually increases on a person that can't pay. You're taking longer to pay now, there's penalties. There's more interest because you're taking longer to pay. And what is the spirit of Islam? Make it easy for a person. That help a person. If a person doesn't, can't afford money, he can't afford to pay, make it easier for him. So anyway, this is the second thing that we understand, is that as far as Islam is concerned, it's always there to assist and to help. So we got two completely incompatible structures that are running. So now the question begs, is how did this suddenly get implemented, where banks suddenly say that they are now Islamic? How? And how do you get a buy-in from the public when there was so much of warning, as I explained, right up to 2004? All the ulama unanimously would tell us that don't invest in banks. My father is here, may Allah Ta'ala grant him long life, good health. One of the first Indian chartered accountants in South Africa. Over 50 years he's practicing. At Taluk ul Hazaji, Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali, also at that time had an MBA, auditing lecturer. I'm not saying this to market any type of degree, but just to give you an understanding. And he will tell you also that it was understood from all the ulama that banks is not a place where man invests his money and takes return. Everyone discounted it. Everyone warned us and told us that be aware of it. In fact, when we were doing our articles and doing board exam at that time, we understood if you were doing capturing of somebody's bank statements, if there was anything over and above what a person deposited that was interest, we would tell the people, take this money and give it away. In the fiqh kitab, you'll find that what does a person do with interest money? He gives it away and he doesn't even make intention of sawab. Whereas intention of sawab is something that is encouraged in Islam. That you coming to the masjid, you can make multiple intentions of sawab. Person is reading nafil namaz, he can make multiple intentions of sawab. A person is doing any good action, he's encouraged to make multiple. But here you're giving interest away and you're told don't make any intention of sawab. Ulama explained why. He says that wealth of interest is so dirty, it's so filthy, that even when you're giving it away, you don't intend sawab also. So dirty it is. So this is the structure. So how did banks get a buy-in? So I'll give two simple stories, inshallah, then we'll understand. And if you understand this, we'll understand the psychology and what system they use to try and win over the masses and the public to understand. This is just a story, so it's not something real, but it will give us. If we understand this, we'll understand how banks operate. There was a person by the name of Gharib Khan. Gharib Khan, he was a very poor person from Unit 11. So he wanted to buy one house one day, so somebody told him that you go to FNB. Go there, and you can get a home loan from them, and it's Islamic. So he is very excited, and he goes there. And when he goes there to the bank and he says, I came for a home loan, they make him sign one contract. So he's reading the contract and he's surprised. This is a partnership contract. I'm a poor man from Unit 11. And yeah, they give me a partnership. Maybe they made a mistake. Now I'm becoming a partner of the bank. So he signs that partnership contract. They call it Musharaka, partnership contract. And he's walking out after signing the contract and he's bouncing and he's walking. So his cousin sees him. His cousin's name is Samajdar Khan. Very intelligent man. So he says, Gharib, what's happening to you? He says, Samajdar, let me tell you, today I hit the jackpot. You know, I smoke Zol. Sometimes I'm on a very high, I'm very high. But today I'm telling you I hit the jackpot. He said, what happened? He said, I went for a home loan and they made me a partner of the bank. Now I can retire and I'm just going to earn profits. He says to him, tells him what? He says, they had you. He says, don't feel bad, don't feel sad, they had you like a shed. You're not a partner. My advice to you, Samajdar tells his cousin Gharib, that take a walk up the road. There's a pharmacy there. Go buy yourself a whole lot of cough mixture. Because for the next 20 years, every month you're going to be coughing and coughing and coughing to the bank. Not 1 cent of profit will come to you. So what did the bank do? Why did they make him sign a partnership contract? They're trying to justify a home loan. But to justify it, they had to go around the block, make the man sign a partnership contract. If you understand this, you'll understand a lot of how banks work. I'll give you another example. A person, a friend of mine, a cousin, his name is Yasin. He's going to Turkey. And now he tells me that, you know what, this lovely woman there in Turkey, beautiful woman, Turkish delights. Can't we make a plan to make this woman halal for us? I'm going for 1 week only. Can't you make a plan to make it halal? I said, very easy. Banks are doing it all the time and they're getting away. We'll do one contract for you. I said, what do you mean do? We'll do a nikah contract. What? And what we'll do, like how the banks do it, I'll show you just now, how they do it, we'll create a look and feel of Islam. So on the contract, we'll put ayats of nikah. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. We'll put ahadith of nikah. النِّكَاحُ مِنْ سُنَّتِي وَقَدْ قَالَ فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. النِّكَاحُ نِصْفُ الْإِيمَانِ فَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ فِي نِصْفِ الْبَاقِي. On that nikah contract, we'll put all these ayat. And we'll create a watermark, a background of minarets and everything. We'll make it look very nice. So what you do, you'll actually be getting sawab. You sign this contract and you would that, whichever girl you like there, whichever Turkish delight you like, and when you finish, just give the talaq and you carry on. After that, you want to have China fruit in China, we'll do the same thing for you. Whatever you want, we can make halal. So that logic of banks is a contract logic. That you go there for, I can challenge any person. Go for a home loan and tell them, give you a home loan contract as far as Islamic is concerned. Nobody will give it to you. They'll tell you, we don't work like that. We have to do something to tailor-make to get the end result. So if we want to, for example, if we want to give our clients now fixed deposit, Sharia fixed deposit, Sharia call account, Sharia this account, and Sharia this account, what we have to do is we'll have to put some other contract in place, we'll have to put some other mechanisms in place that will allow us to get the same end result, but we can't call it a normal fixed deposit because that will be riba. So how you reach what was ordinarily haram, like how this Yasin, ordinarily that Turkish delight was haram for him, but we made it halal by going around the block. So that is what the banks do. This is their mentality. Not realizing that they're playing games with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The irony of ironies is the Reserve Bank, the South African Revenue Services, the auditors that are auditing. The banks themselves know that this is nothing more than a loan. A man came there for a loan. We know it's a loan. You calling it partnership and all, good luck to you, but we know that this is a loan. Who are we bluffing? If they are not getting bluffed, how we expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get bluffed? العبرة للمقاصد والمعاني لا للألفاظ ولا للمباني. It is a fiqh principle that consideration is given to the essence of the contract. What in normally we know, even in auditing we call it economic substance over legal form. What is the substance? This person is going there to Turkey, he's going to play around with that woman. That substance of nikah is just a joke. Another example, a person, I want to save you, a person wants to save 10 million rand of zakat every year. I tell him, very easy, I'll create one contract for you. 10 million zakat you'll save every year. So he gets surprised, 10 million, one contract. I said, yeah, you got to pay me, I'm a Sharia advisor, I take a fee. What will you do? I'll create a contract of donation. You're donating before, one day before your zakat date, you donate the money to your wife. And after you donate it to her, when her time for zakat comes, she donates it back to you. How much did you save? 10 million rand with one contract. Isn't this something profitable? So will we accept these type of contracts? But this is used continuously. It's used wholesale in the banking industry and people are getting carried away. So one question that comes about, I'll take a few minutes extra inshallah and I'll complete. One question that comes about that confuses many people. You say, but the Sharia boards there. Yeah, Sharia boards there. We're going to be very, very careful. I'll just give you one, just to understand that any person says anything, find out how independent he is. I'm running an ice cream shop. I put a person outside my ice cream shop and I tell this person, you know what you do? You advertise for me as far as ice cream is concerned. Any person coming there, you tell them, Gena Pagati, best ice creams in the world. So that person stands, I'm paying him to do that. So he's saying what I'm telling him to say. Tomorrow he comes, says, Ungangine. What he says, they don't come in, this ice cream is not good. What will I do? Straight away I'll fire him. So these Sharia boards that are there, number one, is they're giving assurance without being independent. They are employed to say something and they're saying it. And they're employed big. I was offered, I'm just to explain to you on more than one occasion, to come and join the banks. There is major remuneration involved and it's so enticing. But how can you play with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? My ustad, Hazrat Mufti Sahab, in Talimuddin, one major bank came there and brought the documents. Said, you sit in your office, you don't even have to put one step in the bank. We'll bring all the documents to you, we'll bring everything. You just put your signature, you're saying that you're the head of the Sharia board. That's all. Sharia advisory board, that's all. And every month that money will be coming into your account. You don't even have to come there. He took those pages and he threw it off his desk. He says, you think my deen is so cheap? I can just sell my deen like that. So cheap it is. So number one is they are not independent. It doesn't matter who they are, it doesn't matter how many zikr programs they may be having. You are not independent. You can be the qadi, the head qadi of the Islamic State, but if you are not independent, you cannot be making assurance statements. Number one. Number two, second count of not being independent is they are commenting on what they work they're supposed to be doing. It's like I tell a student, you write the exam and you tell me if you passed. So they are commenting on whatever work they're supposed to be doing. They're saying our work is right, there's the certificate. There is already something now that is marred as far as independence is concerned. And going on just to understand that how serious this is as far as this is concerned. And when this question comes about, then people recently, one person employed by the bank contacted me and he said, why are you speaking out against the banks? Don't speak out against the banks. In other words, you're buggering our business up. But what about the deen of people that is getting buggered up? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us, لَا يَشْرَبَنَّ نَاسٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي الْخَمْرُ يُسَمُّونَهَا بِغَيْرِ إِسْمِهَا. That a time will definitely come in Ummat that people will drink wine, and what will they do? They will rename that wine, they'll give it another name and they'll take it. So what we are seeing, now I told you, I'll just explain to you some of the marketing gimmicks that are used by banks to try and get a buy-in. And this, every one of you is free to go see it for yourself, that what is this marketing gimmicks that they use. I got one brochure of Absa Bank. You look on the top, you'll see in Arabic, Bank Absa Al-Islami. Now this is a bank in South Africa. Everything is in English. What is the need to put the Arabic? The Arabic is now to desensitize the public to believe that this is something Islamic, it is permissible. Second thing that they commonly do, all banks, is they put some minaret in the background, some masjid in the background, to make it look that this is Islamic. It's as though you must feel like you're putting your ihram on and you're going for tawaf. This is what they are trying to do, desensitize the public from something that was completely haram. Yeah, the second picture I'll show you, transactional banking. They got almost, I took out the pictures we know is haram, so I blotted out the pictures of the face. But they got some, assumedly a father on the musalla and a son on the musalla making dua. What does a father and son making dua on the musalla got to do with banking? Can we ever think? This is akin to a person who wants to beg on the street. And what he does, he puts a kurta on, he puts a big tasbih and he puts a topi. And he goes to every car and he reads Surah Fatiha. Bye, make dua for you, salam bye, give something bye. But that person is even better than a bank adorning signs of Islam's tasbihs. If you've got to look at the same bank, if you've got to look at the vehicle finance, what they've got, they've got a tasbih there by the gears. Tasbih there by the gears. What does a tasbih by the gears got to do with vehicle finance? It's just to get a buy-in from the public. Now you can do the same thing, you can go and look at the website of FNB and Standard Bank. The same game plan is there to get a buy-in from the public, to get their assurance and to win them over to think that now this is something that is Islamic. Whereas this is something so serious. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيَأْتِيَنَّ عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يَبْقَى فِيهِ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا أَكَلْ الرِّبَى فَإِلَّمْ يَأْكُلْهُ أَصَابَهُ مِنْ غُبَارِهِ. A time will definitely come in this ummah where every person will consume riba. Every person will consume riba. And if he doesn't consume riba, the smoke, the dust of riba will still get him. How armed this is becoming, how public this is becoming. There was one school that had at the entrance of the school a massive sign of Standard Bank. Remember, these are industries that are war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there was a sign of Israel there, everyone will take offense. But it's a sign of Standard Bank, nobody is taking, a Muslim school. So I told the principal, do you realize what you're doing? Every child that is coming is getting desensitized to a riba markas, the headquarters of those people that are at war with Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I never thought about it like that. And what they do now is the M soccer tournaments that Muslim school has, these riba organizations are sponsoring it. They're sponsoring dinners, they're sponsoring corporate. Muslims are eating there thinking nothing. How do we expect our du'as to be answered? How do we expect the help of Allah to come when riba is becoming so armed in the community, is becoming so wide in the community, so acceptable in the community? On one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the occasion of Mi'raj, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I came across people whose stomachs were as big as houses. Their stomachs were filled with serpents, and from the front of the stomachs, you could see the serpents that were in there. He said, I asked Jibreel alayhi salam, who are these people? That what a punishment they're getting. These serpents eating from inside their stomach. Their stomachs are so big like houses. Who are these people? Jibreel alayhi salam told me, then these are people that indulge in usury and interest. Is it something small or is it something that is major? Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel rahmatullahi alayhi would encourage and tell all his his people around him, that be careful, don't even take a key ring, don't even take a gift from a bank also. Even if an Islamic division had to give money to the madrasa, he will return it. He will tell ulama that we are making dua and we are asking for unity. But how do we expect unity when we are taking sponsorships from these banks, etc.? So he quotes, Mawlana Patel Rahmatullah Alayhi would give this poetry, that ye kaisa in kilab hai, dekhe dil kabab hai, kehte hai ke ab sawab hai, sood mein aur khimar mein. First, ye kaisa in kilab, what a somersault. Yesterday, all the ulama were saying it's haram to invest in banks. Ye kaisa in kilab hai, dekhe dil kabab hai. When the pious are seeing what's happening in the community, their hearts are getting roasted like a kebab. It's getting burnt. That what is happening? Not too long ago, we saw what happened in Saudi Arabia, where depiction of Kaaba Sharif and women that were almost naked while making tawaf and dancing and singing around that Kaaba Sharif that was created. Alcohol, riba is becoming open. Television is being promoted. So dekhe dil kabab hai. The pious, their hearts are burning when they're seeing all this happening. And then kehte hai ke ab sawab hai. Now they're saying that this is sawab. What yesterday they were saying is haram, they're putting a big tasbih there, and they're putting minarets there, and they're creating an impression of things being halal, etc. Now they're saying this sawab. Then he goes on to say, sood meh or khimar meh, in usury, interest, and in gambling, suddenly they are saying it's halal. Before I finish off, I forgot to mention one thing. One other thing that banks use very, very commonly is they name their accounts, they name their products. So there's no products. Remember something, they keep telling people we are selling products. A person that is selling a carpet cleaner, tile cleaner, window cleaner, he is selling a product. They are not selling products. They are providing a service. There's a big difference. A person that is selling product, you can tell him, put the product in your boat. After Jummah Salah, inshallah, we'll look at the product and then we will decide whether we want to buy. Ask a person from the bank to put his product in a boat and bring it to the masjid. He can't. So they're not selling products, but they give the impression to people that we are selling. So this is a service that they are providing. And in providing their services, they name their accounts, and they give their accounts different names. But every name must be fused with the name Islam. Now to have a bank account, all you need is an account holder's name, you need account holder's number, and you need to tell a person whether it's a check account, savings account, or transmission. There's no need for Sharia in every account. Just to give you an idea, for EBSA Bank I'm speaking about. Now other banks got the same policy. That under the transactional banking, they got Islamic youth account, Islamic savings account, ultimate Islamic account, ultimate Islamic plus account, Islamic savings booster, Islamic gold value, Islamic platinum, Islamic young professionals, Islamic private. Under the savings and investments, Islamic depositor, Islamic term deposit, Islamic dynamic deposit, Islamic investment plan. So one thing is keep infusing Islam there. So when a person is receiving banking details, Islamic account, Sharia account, this account, every person must be desensitized, believing this is some dini thing that is happening when it got nothing to do with Islam. This is something we have to be very, very careful of. Allah Ta'ala give us brothers, if a person has got honesty in his heart, he's clear in his heart, he won't deceive anybody with anything. Remember, right is right, even though nobody is doing it. And wrong is wrong, even though everyone may be doing it. You rather have a true tongue with false teeth than having a false tongue with true teeth. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Today everything is about fronting, creating an impression, creating. So I'll finish off. I started the bayan with the ayat. Allah said, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu taqullah fi Allah. And when Allah Ta'ala closes off these ayats on riba, Wattaqoo yawman turja'oona fihi ilallah. Fear the day when you have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thumma tuwaffa kullu nafsin bima kasabat wa hum la yuzlamun. Every person will now get what he earned. If he will earn interest on that day, he'll have to pay. He'll have to pay all those poor people that he took money from. All that haram that he took despite knowing it was halal. So the only thing that will keep a person away, despite it looking so easy, just invest it, get it. There's guarantee of returns. We're not going to make losses. Why must we take risk? It's so easy, but the only thing that will keep a person away is وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرُجَعُونَ فِيهِ. Fear the day when you're going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah Ta'ala to accept what has been said. Give us the tawfiq. Whoever is sincere will understand that is nothing more than a marketing gimmick that is going on to create an impression of Islam in an industry that is nothing more. A person may ask that what caused them that these banks in 2004 onwards, these conventional banks, did they go in Jamaat suddenly, that they changed their lives now to become Islamic? Or did they get name come up in Sahuk that they went for Hajj now and they changed? Or did they have a dream? It was nothing more than a commercial decision. that to commercialize, to prostitute Islam, to try and get and win over the religious sector of the Muslims to come in and invest. This is all that it is. Nothing more than a commercial decision. If it doesn't work out, they'll close it. There's nothing about Islam there. It's all about commercial and making of profits. Allah Pak give us all the tawfiq of making amal. I apologize for taking a few minutes extra. It was an important topic. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.